Nah, not those Lions. Three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The 2021 British and Irish Lions Tour.
On Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
You're very welcome along to our coverage of the third and deciding test between the world champion South Africa and the Lions. Kickoff coming up in Cape Town at 5 p.m. Fergus McFadden is going to be on commentary with Neil Tracy. Neil Tracy is with me now to look forward to the game. Neil, how are you getting on?
Good, Will. Hopefully looking forward to a better game than last week. And even, to be honest, just one that doesn't take as long to complete. We were two hours and around 15 minutes last week waiting for South Africa to wrap up their 18-point victory against the Lions. And look, I think this week, as much as there's a test series on the line, I think in general, it probably isn't stretching the imagination or going a bit too far or being over-exaggerating to say that in a lot of ways, I think rugby's reputation is probably on the line this week, because the last two games, last week in particular, have not really been great spectacles whatsoever. There have been enormous amounts of, you know, ball, like incredibly low, sorry, I should say, ball and play time. We had 14 minutes of TMO time last week. 14 minutes. It's just not really been acceptable over the last couple of weeks. And I think for the Lions brand, the legacy of the Lions, and for the game as a whole, I think you do want to see it, like, we're not saying we have to see tons of offloads left, right and centre, but just a better game of rugby and less stoppages.
Are you trying to say that you don't enjoy one half of rugby taking 64 minutes with barely any passes, and the fact that every single decision last week was being disputed with the officials and all that TMO time and every slow setting scrum that we saw? Are you saying you prefer the type of rugby we saw with Australia and New Zealand this morning?
Yes, although to be honest, like in the moment last week when we were actually covering that game in that first half, like it was so long and it was so drawn out, there was a kind of a morbid kind of grip to it, you know, that it was kind of sucking us in. And it was only maybe afterwards when we'd removed ourselves from it and you're looking back at it and you're going, God, this really was poor. But in fairness, though, at the time, when we were sitting here calling it, myself and Brian O'Driscoll, it did kind of pull us in. But as I said, when you kind of step back outside and look at it, it was quite poor.
And look, an ugly game is going to suit South Africa. They don't want to see, you know, the ball being moved around, loads of passes. They were happy with a forward battle last week and the amount of kicking that we saw. It's unlikely, though, from a Lions perspective, that Gregor Townsend, working with a plan to try and get the backs to fire this week, that we're going to see two games in a row where Dan Biggar only passes the ball three times.
No, I don't think Dan Biggar is going to have another game in his career when he only passes the ball three times. But he's kept his place in the side this week, and I may as well run through the rest of the Lions team, because there have been a lot of changes, six in total from the side that started against South Africa in the second test last week. Four of the changes have come in the back line. Stuart Hogg is out. Liam Williams comes in for him at fullback. Liam Williams, who came off the bench in the opening test but wasn't involved at all last week. Josh Adams, who we haven't seen since the game against the Stormers a week before the first test. He was meant to play against South Africa A the Wednesday, a couple of days beforehand, but his partner ended up having her baby that night, and Josh Adams had to pull out of that game. He then probably struggled. He was naturally distracted, I think, in that game against the Stormers, and hasn't been seen since as well. Worth remembering, he still has 8 tries in 3 games for the Lions so far as well. Bundiaki is coming in for his Lions test debut in place of Chris Harris. So a third centre partner in as many games for Robbie Henshaw, while Ali Price is retaking his starting position at scrum half, just as he had in the opening test. Came off the bench, played 24 minutes in place of Murray last week. But to be honest, at that stage, the game was probably gone. And I think maybe a lot of people might agree that it probably did work better when Ali Price started the first test and Conor Murray came on and was able to manage the game a little bit better in the second half of that first test. And I think, to be honest, one crucial change that's come in the front row, and it's that Wyn Jones, who's fit again now, he is starting at loosehead prop in place of Mako Vunipola. Mako Vunipola and Rory Sutherland last week, they conceded 4 penalties between them just on that loosehead side alone. And Wyn Jones, who was meant to start the first test but had to withdraw due to injury on the day of it, he's now in to make his Lions test debut. While alongside him then, Ken Owens, who's actually going to be playing in his 5th Lions test, but his first time starting. He played 2 off the bench in New Zealand as a sub to Jamie George. He's come off the bench in the opening two tests of this series, and he's in now to start the third test at hooker alongside Wyn Jones and Tadhg Furlong. Six players also set to make their Lions test debuts today. Three of those in the starting team, as I mentioned, Josh Adams, Bundiaki and Wyn Jones. But then also on the bench, you have Finn Russell, Sam Simmons and also Adam Beard, who are going to be likely coming on at some point in the game to make their Lions test debuts. And it means that quite a few players have missed out on all three of these test matches. Marcus Smith, Lewis Rees-Zammit, Josh Navidi, Ronan Kelleher, Jamie George, Gareth Davies, Johnny Hill, Xander Fagerson and Ian Henderson. Ian Henderson, I mean, one of Ireland's standout players in the Six Nations. All of these guys have basically had to just be trainers for the last 3 weeks, and that has to be incredibly tough. For South Africa, meanwhile, two changes for them, both injury-forced. Cobus Reinach is coming in at scrum half in place of Faf de Klerk. Reinach hasn't played in any of the opening two tests. They've gone with Herschel Yankees off the bench, and they've decided to stick with Herschel Yankees off the bench because of the impact he has when he comes on. So Cobus Reinach, who had been playing second fiddle to Faf de Klerk just before the 2019 Rugby World Cup, he is going to come in. De Klerk injured a hip flexor at the in the second test last week. And then Peter Steph Du Toit, who suffered an injury in the opening half of that second test, he's also ruled out. And it means that all 6 foot nine of Lou Diager is going to come in. He's going to go into the second row. And Franco Mostert, who's probably been South Africa's best player up there with Eben Etzebeth and Damien Delende as well, is going to slot back from second row into open side flanker. And as I mentioned, Damien Delende as well, he starts as well. Today's going to be his 50th cap as a Springbok.
Yeah, an intriguing battle where Diolende goes up against that all-Irish midfield of Henshaw and Aki for this afternoon. Like, how much of a loss is Faf de Klerk, Neil, considering how pivotal he's been for South Africa and how important he was in the first two tests?
He is. He's going to be a real real absence because like everything they do goes through him. His kicking is so good and the kick chase they get off that. Cobus Reinach, I'm going to be really interested to see what way he plays, because I think a lot of people would look at the way he was playing maybe 2019 Rugby World Cup and just after it with the Northampton Saints, and they would have been seeing a player who was probably along similar styles. I'm not saying as good, but similar styles to someone like Antoine Dupont, who is just kind of popping up on the shoulders of runners in the open field, and very, very different to Faf de Klerk. But I think what I've seen a lot of people talk about over the last few weeks, people who've seen a lot more of him than I have, people based in South Africa who would be watching him on a regular basis, saying that he probably has altered his game a little bit over the last 18 months since he moved to Montpellier. And remember as well, at Montpellier, he's going to be alongside Andre Pollard, who is his out half as well today. So these are guys, I know Pollard missed all of last season pretty much due to a torn ACL, but they are two players that will be fairly comfortable in each other's surroundings as well.
Just some news coming through to us as well. We had a lot of people texting in about being in effectively a car park on the way to Croke Park earlier, Limerick and Waterford fans. The game has now been pushed back to 5:30 between Limerick and Waterford, so that start time pushed back by 30 minutes. Neil, before we bring in Niamh and Fergus to get their opinions on this, are you expecting a massive change in terms of the way that the game is played this week? Because listening to Brian O'Driscoll, listening to Alan Quinlan, they reckon that South Africa have a game plan, they're going to play to that blueprint. And whether the game changes from what we saw last week is probably largely down to the tactics with the Lions.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see too much of a change, to be totally honest. I'd say we're going to see a game that resembles... I don't think it's going to be as stop-start and as slow as last week was, but I think it's going to be up there along the same lines as the opening test. I think even if you look at the personnel, it's probably just fitting a little bit more similar. I think last week was... It was a bit of an anomaly. I know the game has probably been going in that direction, but that was a complete exaggeration of the rugby we've seen in the last few years. And it was just the natural result, I think, of an incredibly tense and incredibly nasty and petty week that had been leading up to it. And I think it was just the natural result of everything that had happened in the week before with the Jaco Johan, or is it Razzy Erasmus, Twitter account with Razzy Erasmus's enormous monologue that had been leaked onto Vimeo. And just the back and forth accusations between the two camps. I think it was completely natural we ended up seeing the game we did last week. I think this week, though, it's probably going to be along the lines of the opening test. It's going to be very close. I can't see there being a huge amount of tries. I think small mistakes are going to decide it as much as individual brilliance. But hopefully it's going to have all the tension that a deciding Lions test should have. And hopefully it's going to go right down to the wire as well. And hopefully it's going to be one we'll remember.
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing battle. Kickoff coming up at 5 p.m. Let's hear from the aforementioned former Lions captain, Brian O'Driscoll. He spoke during the week about the reaction he expects from the Lions after last week's second test.
Do you expect a response then on Saturday to that? Do you expect a better game? Do you expect a quicker game? Or do you think, actually, with all that's at stake, we're probably just going to have more of the same again?
Well, rugby's quite reactionary to what's happened most immediately. And you know, you see that in different aspects of rule changes, you know, where for a period of time, I remember the, you know, crooked put in at the scrum, you know, where it was two strikes and there was a yellow card issued. And where is that now? So, you know, will it be reactionary towards quickening up the game because of that first half last week? Absolutely. Where the referee will try and use the TMO when he absolutely has to, but will also try and make some decisions for himself with the hope of not missing anything major. So it's a pretty unenviable task that refereeing group has, to be honest with you. You're in for slack one way or another, and they've copped it in a major way. I think they missed a good bit last weekend as well. So even when they're trying to be thorough, they're getting things wrong. So I don't feel as though it's going to be any better a spectacle. I do feel as though it's going to be pretty close, though. I was very negative after the second half last weekend. It just felt as though there was a huge momentum shift from South Africa. Another game under their belt, the way and magnitude and the game plan, the way they put us to the sword. And it just felt as though it was men against boys for 20, 25 minutes of that second half. However, I just feel as though because Warren Gatland is coach, because his teams rarely get pumped, you know, rarely get smashed. I just fancy that the Lions will be right in the mix with 10 or 15 minutes to go. And maybe the South Africans feel as though they've now got us cracked. I just feel as though there's a huge amount still to be played for. And that's stating the obvious because it's a deciding game. But rugby's a momentum thing, and it's very hard to shift a momentum, a ball rolling downhill, which it feels like that South African juggernaut was in that second half. But I don't fancy the Lions, but I fancy it to be go right to the wire.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feeling similarly on that. Our coverage of the Lions tour here on OTB Sports is brought to you by Vodafone, who are the lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. Delighted to say that we've got former Ireland captain Niamh Briggs and also our co-commentator for the day, Fergus McFadden, who are now with us. Niamh, we were talking about the Lions team, which has been named with Neil just a few minutes ago there. One surprise for me is that in the tests, this is the first time that we're going to see Aki and Henshaw paired together in midfield, because when it came to the warm-up games, it seemed that they were pretty prominent in Warren Gatland's thinking, going back as far as the Japan game, that the two former Connacht teammates might be paired together. But we've had the midfield change for every single test so far. Are you surprised they didn't actually pair these two before this?
I am, I suppose. I think, to be fair, I thought Aki was excellent in that first game against Japan. It gives you a lot of go forward ball and he's got this huge amount of energy. But I think the type of game that the Lions played over the first two tests, it wasn't really based off energy. It was just more based off trying to win that kicking battle. And so I think it was kind of irrelevant in terms of who he had selected in the midfield. I'm not even sure that Chris Harris did a huge amount wrong last week. Just didn't get any ball in his hands. I thought he defended incredibly well. So I think the selection of Aki this week just goes to show maybe that Ireland or the Lions are going to look to play a little bit more in terms of giving the likes of that centre partnership some go-forward ball, something that we haven't seen. I'm hoping that it's not going to be a kick fest like it was the last couple of weeks. But I think it's a brilliant combination. I thought they were excellent together in Six Nations, albeit they only really got to play in that English game together. So from that perspective, I think that they're so comfortable with each other. They know each other inside out and they feed off each other. I think that's huge as well. So I definitely think that's a huge positive for the Lions.
Yeah, like Niamh, I feel a bit for both Elliot Daly and also for Chris Harris, because they've been in a channel where they were heavily hit by South Africa in the first couple of games. And there's not much front forward ball if your out half is only passing the ball out wide on three occasions during the game. Like, there was so much kicking, there was so much carrying from the forwards. It's hard to impress as an outside centre if you're not getting your hands on the ball.
Yeah, hugely. I think not just the kicking game. I think it was very difficult to try and to do anything because A, the South African defence is so good. They put a huge amount of pressure on their opposition, but also when you're not really getting any go forward ball or you're not getting over the gain line and getting any momentum, it can make it really difficult to try and find space in that front line. So therefore, they obviously felt like they had to kick all the time. I think I was surprised to see Elliot Daly remain in the 23 for this weekend again. I think the Lions really have to try and test something. They have to try and put South Africa under pressure. You know, in that second test last week, I thought there was space definitely outside Am. I think the winger usually likes a Kobe and BP, they do jot in. Like they do look to put pressure on that maybe 13, 15 channel. Whereas I think if you can just manage to slide the ball behind a front runner, it can open up space on that edge. And I think that's where the Lions have to try and target today.
Fergus, when it comes to your former teammate, Robbie Henshaw, he switches 12 to 13. We saw him do it during the Six Nations, playing both positions. He's versatile in both, isn't he?
He very much is, yeah. It's arguably his best position, I think. Himself and Bundy Akigi, they did play brilliantly in that first game against Japan, as Niamh mentioned. I also agree that 13s in the first two tests, they didn't get that much opportunities with the ball in hand. But at the same time, I think Robbie's the right guy to have in there to actually make something happen, because he's abrasive, he's aggressive. He'd be very good in defence, but I think people underestimate his skills in hand and his ability to shift the ball. So hopefully he can get the likes of Adams and Van der Merwe running into a bit of space.
Yeah, because Robbie Henshaw was the only player who really threatened for a try in the second test for the Lions last week. Like, Fergus, it seems a simple point, but if the Lions are going to beat South Africa, you know, one try scored in the first couple of games is not going to be good enough. They need to threaten the try line an awful lot more over the next couple of hours.
Very much so. I think, you know, the South Africans scored a couple of tries last week, and the Lions certainly have to do it this week if they're going to win. You know, they only scored three penalties off the tee, and this game is going to be decided in who gets the 5-pointers. So it's going to have to be more than just the mall threat that they brought in that first test. I think the changes they've put in the back line, the likes of Josh Adams, who's in flying form, you know, Bundy Akigi, who does go through holes, and even Liam Williams, I think he's the best 15 to have in this sort of a game where there's not going to be as much space, but he's also a very elusive runner who, you know, he can produce moments of brilliance. So one of those for a try would definitely put them in a strong position.
Niamh, when it comes to the changes that have been made in the back three, how much of that is influenced by the way that South Africa won some of the aerial battles last week? Is this a case of Gatland going with three players who he feels maybe more secure in the air than what he had picked last week?
Yeah, hugely. I think, look, to be fair, that back three were quite poor last week, but it's very difficult when it's really hard to get into the game because you can't touch the ball. And the only time you do touch it is when it's been coming out of the sky is in an aerial battle that there's players jumping on top of you. And to be fair, the South African kick chase is so good. And so, yeah, look, I have a little bit of sympathy, don't get me wrong, for those three that that played last weekend. But I think... But I agree with Fergus. I think Liam Williams is definitely the best aerial in terms of his ability to be able to not just be able to catch it, but also to be able to set an attack off it. And I think I was really surprised to see Josh Adams not involved in the first two tests because I just think he's electric and he's akin to a striker in soccer. His ability to find the try line is unbelievable. I was really surprised again to see Van der Merwe still involved. I think he's... a little bit of a liability defensively. I think Conor Murray cleaned up a lot of his defensive mistakes over the last test for sure. And so I probably would have liked to have seen maybe Anthony Watson stay in with Adams or else Hogg stay a full back, because I don't think Hogg would have been as poor again, to be honest, and Liam Williams on the wing. But they've got to try and be the game changer in this game, I think. I think this is where they've got to stand up and try and look for the space and demand the ball. I think at times last week there was definitely space for them, but, you know, just never got there.
I wonder when it comes to Van der Merwen, Eve, whether it's a case of he fits the profile nicely for Warren Gatland's style of play, and he probably thinks, look, this is a big bruising forward who can also, you know, stop the opposing wingers running against us, and therefore he's picking a player to the type of game that he wants to play.
Yeah, that's obviously it. I think, you know, he's obviously incredibly strong. He runs really good lines, but the issue been is that he just makes us a little, you know, a few mistakes for me. I think his positioning in the backfield can be quite poor at times. He leaves himself open by biting in, you know, by jumping the gun in a little bit and trying to close the space a little bit too early. And sometimes leaves his fullback a little bit too much work to do, I think. So from that aspect, they'll have obviously pinpointed at and worked quite hard with it, you know, over the last week, because I do think he improved from the first game that I'd seen him against Japan. But yeah, look, it's Warren Gatland to a T, isn't it? Big, physical, imposing players that can get you over the gain line. I just think that you've got to get him the ball to be able to do that, and I don't think they have.
The big argument for Adams in terms of selection is that he was in good form earlier in the tour, and you can maybe scratch off the opposition that the Lions were playing against in some of the warm-up games, but it was very clear that this is a guy who both knows where the try line is and was playing himself into good form coming into the series. So he would probably have felt that he should have been selected for all three games.
Yeah, hugely. I think when you have a player like that who's playing with that kind of confidence and seems to have that magic touch every time they touch the ball, then you've just got to continue to select them, irrelevant of who the opposition is. And I think he showed that, you know, over the Six Nations. It wasn't just this Lions tour, to be fair to him. And so I do think that he'll definitely go out there today with to have a point to prove and also demand the ball. He's the type of player that can pop up anywhere. I think that's another thing that Van der Merwe, for me, just sits on his wing a small bit too much. You look at the likes of Adams and Colby, these kind of players, they forge their way into the game when they can't get their hands on the ball. And his ability to step in the tight is so, so good. So, and he's strong too. You know, he's quite physical for a small stature guy. So, I think that kind of momentum, I just hope it hasn't been broken by the fact that he hasn't played over the last two games. But if you put yourself into his shoes, you'd be going out with the mindset of trying to prove the coaches wrong over the last 2 weeks.
Fergus, we were just looking at the composition of the back three there and, you know, why Van der Merwe has kept his place in the team and the fact his physicality perhaps suits Warren Gatland's game. Is it difficult? I mean, you know, as playing as a back three player, to be playing with that little ball as well, actually coming and getting out wide during the game, that really all you're kind of focused on is being there for Andre Pollard's balls that are kicked up into the air and trying to stop the likes of Chez and Colby when they get running. It's probably quite difficult to actually get into the game if you're seeing the ball as little as they have been.
Yeah, it was difficult for himself and Anthony Watson last week to get into it. I think Gatland's probably picked Van der Merwe because he brings something different than the other wingers. You know, if you had Louis Rees-Samet or Watson in on that left side, they probably do a very similar job to Josh Adams, whereas Van der Merwe, he has the ability to run over two or three guys if he's put in that small bit of space. And in fairness to him, I think he's done pretty well in the first two tests with limited opportunities. So I think he was probably the right guy to pick, to be honest. And definitely Josh Adams was, worth the punt to bring in on the wing. I think, yeah, he hasn't played in the last two games, but he's been in the form of his life. And I think when you've got a player who's scored that many tries, you've got to just get them on the pitch.
Fergus, Neil mentioned earlier, Luis Rees-Samet was one of those players who has gone across and got no meaningful test time whatsoever, despite having a remarkable Six Nations just a few months ago for Wales. Will it be hard for those players who have gone on tour and to have got zero meaningful actual game time? It's difficult, like Ian Henderson as well, you know, having to just be a training prop essentially to sharpen up the players and to not get a chance in the match day 23 for any of the three tests.
Oh, it's definitely difficult, that's for sure. Louis Rees-Samet is probably not the best example because he'll probably go on another two or three tours. You know, he will get his opportunity for sure. A funny one with him, though, because one, he's Welsh, but two, going over there, most people would have thought he was probably going to be a nailed-on starter. So, the cards just didn't really fall for him, but he'll have other opportunities. But definitely disappointing for someone like Ian Henderson. Like, I look at this game and go, how Adam Baird is on the bench ahead of him is just beyond me because, I think Ian Henderson brings an awful lot more coming off the bench as a second row. But he also covers six, which Adam Baird doesn't. cover. You know, you've got Sam Simmons, who's predominantly a number eight. He can cover the other positions in the back row, but it seemed a strange decision to not have Ian Henderson in there.
Niamh, to take up that point about Ian Henderson, we spoke to Dev Toner before the first warm-up game here and off the ball, and I know circumstances have changed because Alan Wynne-Jones said his remarkable recovery, his shoulders popped back into place and he's able to go on tour again. But he saw Ian Henderson as a really important leader within the Lions group too, that it was probably a case of, you know, himself and Atoje, as things stood, being the starters, and he thought even if Alan Wynne came back in that Ian Henderson would be your first player to bring off the bench. It's been a bit of a shock that he's had no time at all in these test matches.
Yeah, hugely. I think I agree with Fergus. I think it's beggar's belief that he's not in. I can't really understand it. I think he's had an unbelievable Six Nations, so he was in really good form coming into this tour, captained one of the sides that played in the warm-up games. And Gatlin spoke about his leadership, and you thought, okay, like, he's really like laying on the praise here, so he's definitely going to be involved. And to not have him in, you know, it's not even that. He's an unbelievably physical player, but he's an incredibly intelligent rugby player. So his ability to be able to get in amongst that South African maul, like, that's what they're saying about Adam Beard, that he's, you know, he's brilliant at maul defence. But, like, that's very, you know, type one trick pony things, because I feel that Ian Henderson brings so much more. His ability to play on the gain line, his ability to be able to throw tip passes, his work rate, his huge physicality. So yeah, look, I think he'll be coming home from this tour and kind of be disappointed because he's not been involved, but not only not been involved at all, but, you know, he probably went out there with huge aspirations to be involved very, very heavily.
Yeah, well, one of the Irish players who's played in all three tests is Robbie Henshaw. Matt Williams was on off the ball during the week, and he reckons that Henshaw is one of the few Lions backs who've gone on tour that actually will leave the tour with some credit in the bank.
Robbie Henshaw is probably one of the only backs who's going to come out of this series for the Lions with his reputation enhanced. He's been absolutely sensational. He's one of the best, if not the best, inside centre in the world. You certainly bracket him up there with Gail Fiku, and, you know, you let's see how the New Zealanders go on Saturday against the Wallabies. But, you know, he's whoever's the best, he's equal. He's been great. And they're playing him at 13. They're playing him at 13 because they didn't select a genuine outside centre in their original squad. How Gary Ringrose didn't make this squad is still mind-boggling. And here we are, one of the best inside centres in the world has to be put at outside centre because they've got no one else. Now, I'm delighted for Bundiaki. He played really well. And to me, on the squad that was selected, that I felt was wrong, that's the best centre combination. But we're only getting it in the third test. Now, that tells you, how do you get around South Africa? You've got to have someone who knows the ropes at 13. You've got to have someone who's experienced, and you've got to have someone with great skills. And they simply didn't select a squad to play that sort of game. And again, it's saying what Rory said. It's not fit for purpose what they've done. Now, is it too late to change? Well, in the Lions squad, they've proven over the years it's not. But we've got no evidence that they can change. And I actually think they're in a bit of trouble. They're in a fair bit of trouble for Saturday, because even though the Box have lost two key players, and Natoit is just a wonderful back row. I've watched him go through over the last few years, and he's fantastic. And obviously, Faf de Klerk is right up there with the best in the world as well. But the way they're going to play, Reinhardt's a great box kicker. You're not going to lose too much about him. He's a very big, physical man. They're probably gaining a little bit of physicality with him. He's a bigger guy than Faf. And if you look at that back five of the Springboks with Esterbeg, De Jager, Montserrat, Colossi and Wyse there, like, that's a powerful back five. And their front row have proved they dominated over the other front row, and they've got another game under their belt. So where do the Lions go? And that's an answer that no one sort of can give me on, and I can't come up with you on that selection and say, well, this is where I think the Lions could get a real advantage over South Africa. There's just not a lot of room there.
Fergus, Gary Ringrose is going to be watching this game on TV like the rest of us. As this has played out, does it look all the more unusual that Gary Ringrose wasn't part of the extended squad?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a shock to everyone that Gary wasn't in the squad originally. You know, and maybe Matt's right that, you know, they didn't bring a specialist 13, and it was certainly a shock for me that Gary wasn't touring. But, you know, really, you just have to deal with what the situation is that they have in their hands now and who they can pick from. And I think they've definitely picked the best 13 on tour. I think Aki and Henshaw should have been starting in the first two tests. I think they're the best combination that's out there. And actually, I partly think that Robbie's best position is 13 sometimes as well. I think he's played an awful lot of his tests for Ireland at 12, most of them. But any opportunities he gets at 13, where he originally started, after he played for a couple of seasons at 15 with Connacht, and winning that Pro 12 title with them, he's a brilliant reader in defence. And I think I said earlier on that I don't think people realise just how good his hands are. He's an outstanding long passer, and he's great at bringing people into the game before and after the tackle.
Well, we're less than half an hour away from kickoff now. The deciding third test between the Lions and South Africa. Niamh and Fergus are going to stay with us. We'll be back in a moment to continue our build-up to the big game.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Ahead to the deciding third test between South Africa and the Lions in Cape Town. Kickoff is coming up at 5 p.m. Fergus McFadden and also Niamh Briggs are with me to look forward to the game. And Niamh, when it comes to the officials on this one, and particularly for Matthew Reynal, there's going to be a lot of spotlight on how they referee the game. We were bemoaning earlier and last week the fact it took an hour and 4 minutes to play that first half. Huge pressure being put on the officials on the pitch. Razzy Erasmus has landed himself with the World Rugby hearing on the back of what's happened between Twitter accounts and his hour-long monologue about the officials from the first test. How important is it that the game is allowed to actually flow by the officials when we kick off in 20 minutes' time?
Yeah, look, it's obviously been a really tough time for the officials, I think. I said during the week to Joe, you know, I love them or loathe them, agree, disagree, but, you know, Razzy's monologue seemed to have worked for the South Africans last weekend. It was just so stop-start, it broke up any momentum. And that's what they'll be looking to do again today. You've just got to hope that Matthew Reynal will be strong and have confidence in his own decisions and back himself to try and keep the tempo of the game up. I think the Lions will be really hopeful for that. But I think we, you know, rugby as a game, and us as supporters and players, we really can't go back to what happened last weekend. I thought it was really poor. I think if you're not a purist and somebody who's just tuning in to watch big games, you won't tune in very often if you're going to have to sit through games like that. I thought it was so difficult. And to be fair to Ben O'Keefe, I thought communication was really good, but it must have been just a really, really difficult game for him to do when knowing what had gone on the week before and the eyes of the world were watching him, basically. And so I think he was probably not trusting himself either to make decisions on the go. And that brought in the TMO so much. But also there was a lot of niggle off the ball too. And I think, I think he had to go to Marius Jonker at times. But you can do that on the run and you can just ask him to have a look back things. You don't have to stop the game every second or every 2 minutes if it's just a really frustrating game to watch.
Fergus, it's a competitive market this summer because you've got the Olympics on at the same time. You've got football as an option, the GA. We were talking earlier about Waterford against Limerick taking place this evening. You know, a Lions tour has to kind of win the hearts and minds. It's part of the marketing around the Lions too. This could potentially damage the Lions brand if we get another ugly third test.
Yeah, it was disappointing last week. As an advertisement for the game, it certainly wasn't a good one. You know, as Niamh mentioned there, you know, some people that might just tune in for a test series like this or just for the Six Nations, you know, it just wasn't enjoyable. You know, take that long to get through a first half. There was absolutely no flow to the game. Like, I even in the first two tests, I don't think the teams got past seven or eight phases, even a couple of times, which is pretty shocking. At the same time, you know, there has been, you know, a lot of ill discipline from both sides, which causes the game to be stop-start, between not rolling away, between, you know, the ref constantly having to blow his whistle. And then, yeah, there was that niggle last week and some of it needs to be looked at. But really, like, I don't think you need to be going to the TMO for that stuff. I think if someone gets a box or clearly something happens, yeah, obviously you look at it. But, you know, players can be sanctioned post-game as well. You know, you saw that incident that happened between Stuart Hogg and Vili Leroux, And that's something that you just, you can't really, you'd be going through that for 10 minutes as a TMO. So they're just small things that, you know, hopefully Matthew Reynal will ref the rugby today, and it'll be a bit more of a flowing match.
Still can't believe that Sinclair was the only player who was called up by the siding commissioner. How, with all the video that would have been poured over on Sunday and into Monday, that Sinclair was the only player who got tagged for any issues from the game last week. But, Niamh, when it comes to this kind of flipping the expectation somewhat, looking at it from a South African perspective, we get it sometimes from our comments on the Off the Ball YouTube, where South African fans are, you know, bemoaning the fact that we complain about a blueprint which was successful for them in the 2019 World Cup final. They don't mind winning in the style of rugby that they're playing under Nienaber and under Erasmus, and therefore they don't really mind if the ball doesn't get out to Chelsea and Colby. For me, just as a rugby fan, it seems an awful pity that the most exciting winger in world rugby probably has to wait until he gets back to his club to actually get any kind of meaningful chance to open up his legs.
Yeah, look, it's hugely frustrating from a rugby neutral watching them, but for them, why would you change a winning combination? They're obviously very good at what they do. They live off their set piece and their ability to go to the air, and their defensive setup. So there are three key aspects of the game, what we call big rocks. And if you can do them and do them so well, then why would you change? And so from a South African point of view, I can see why they're pretty happy to continue on the way they want to. And it's funny, you know, they've all over social media in the last couple of weeks, they've really backed Razzie, everything that he's done. They feel that he was right in what he did. And so they obviously have like a chip on their shoulder because of the way that they play and the way that we watch and observe and critique them probably. But if you're Jacques Nienaber and you're Razzie Erasmus, you don't really mind what the outside world says, as long as you're, you know, winning World Cups and you know, coming down to the deciding test in a line series. So, but yeah, look, it's like when you have players that are ridiculously good, you talk about Colby, but also Willie Rue was brilliant. You know, his ability to kick on the run is one of the best fullbacks in the world. You look at Delande and Am, they have so much firepower around the place. And so it's a pity that we don't get to see it in a way that as supporters want to see it. But if you're sitting over there and you're a supporter of South African rugby, you just want to win. And at the end of the day, it's a results-driven business.
And Fergus, it creates that kind of siege mentality as well. If South African fans are rallying around Razzie Erasmus and whatever's been tweeted by the Jaco Johan account, if you need to come back from losing a first test, is a perfect way to unify the squad and to also unify the supporters going into two games that they had to win back to back.
Yeah, it's funny because everyone's focused on the implications that it might have had to the mentality of the referees and the officials from Razzie Erasmus doing that. And it kind of did. I think people forgot, like, the kind of siege mentality it probably brought into the South African camp. I mean, their leader, you know, presents this hour-long video about how they're being hard done by. It's a bit of it's them against us now. And it definitely worked from a playing perspective because there was a serious edge behind everything that's what South African 23 did last week. And I'm sure it'll be very much the same mentality for them going into this. So you could say a bit of a stroke of genius by Razzie Erasmus. If they end up winning this test series, you know, he has a hearing, but it's the result is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, he won't mind being suspended as the water carrier if that's what happens for South Africa's upcoming games. Fergus, if you first shout in Faf de Klerk, how much of a loss is he given that he's been pivotal to the way that South Africa have played in the first two?
He's a huge loss. He really is. You know, he's one of the standout players from either squad. He's world class. But there's actually not as much of a gulf to Kobus Reinach as people think. If they haven't watched him before, you know, he is an outstanding kicker, but he's an outstanding broken runner as well. Quite physical. A little bit bigger than Faf de Klerk. I suppose they'll miss Faf de Klerk for his leadership qualities. You know, himself and Steph de Toy would certainly be leaders within the team, so they'll miss him from that perspective. But Kobus Reinach and Andre Pollard know each other very, very well, and I think they both have the perfect game and perfect combination to probably do what the South Africans want them to today.
Well, in terms of the game plan that the Lions might well be pulling out of the hat today, Rob Kearney, who was a tourist in 2009 and in 2013, was on OTBAM yesterday morning. And this is what he had to say about the Lions' approach this evening.
Now, it's easy for us to sit here and say the Lions need to be braver in attack. Springboks play unbelievably high. Their wingers play high. Willie LaRue closes very early. So you don't want to be that guy who throws an intercept in a test match of a Lions game, because we know tries are so precious in these test matches, and 7 points can be the game. So, you know, in some respects, you've got to take your hat off to the Springboks as well. Or a team that have played very little rugby in the last couple of years, who've been battling with quarantine and COVID and all the disruptions of that.
On LaRue, who you mentioned there, O'Driscoll was saying on the show last night that maybe he could be got at defensively. Is that something you go along with?
Yeah, I think so. But like, defensively, in terms of what is that, putting the ball in behind him or taking him on one on one with the ball in hand? Certainly, defensively, he closes so high and so hard that there is a lot of kick space into those corners that he's leaving. Now, the only problem with that is that the speed of the Springboks defense is coming off the line so hard and so aggressively that you don't get that time and space to execute those kicks.
Niamh, potentially space left in the back third of the pitch by South Africa. Is that an area of the pitch that the Lions can get a little bit of success later on?
Yeah, I do. I think it'll take type of a player like a Finn Russell to come in and be able to find that space, because his ability to kick in close quarters and with lots of people around him probably makes him one of the standouts. He's also ability to kick past the players. It's something that not many out-halves or centres can do. So from that perspective, I definitely do think that he'd be the type of player that could punish that small bit of space. And Rob is right, to be fair. You know, LaRue closes very early, but while he closes very early, you know, the opposite winger is also covering that back space too. So it's a bit like a game of chess in terms of trying to pick the right time and the right move to try and get it to the edge and try and put LaRue under pressure, but also to try and turn him. And I'm not really sure that Dan Biggar has that time and space to be able to do it. But I do think if you look at Finn Russell coming off the bench with 20 minutes to go, he can be the type of person that can exploit that and execute it.
Fergus, when it comes to Finn Russell, remarkable to think 18 months ago, he's dropped out of the Scottish squad for a combination of having a go with Gregor Townsend after the game at Twickenham and then not turning up in a fit state for a training session in Edinburgh. Here he is now, preferred to Owen Farrell, with all his experience across three different tours, having played in huge test matches both at out half and at inside centre. And Finn Russell is there as the Lions' plan B if they need to chase the game in the second half. There's quite a confidence put into Finn Russell to put him in ahead of Owen Farrell on the bench.
Yeah, well, I think Finn Russell's probably been put in there because he brings something completely different to Owen Farrell. I think Owen Farrell is the type of guy you want to bring in at 10 to close out the match. I suppose Gatland's looking at this. You know, if there's a make or break situation where they're down by 7 or 10 points, then Russell probably is the right guy to bring in. We've been saying that we could end up losing by 14 points or you could win in the last play of the game. So, you know, if they are banking on him to come in, it'll certainly be, you know, enjoyable for the neutral spectator, but it won't be great for the coach's heart rates, I think.
Niamh, it's a ballsy call to leave Owen Farrell out. Like, notwithstanding the fact he's been playing championship rugby in England and maybe he's not in the form that he would have been the year before, but still to take away a general with that much experience, particularly if he was needed, if the game is in the balance here, it's a huge call not to have Owen Farrell on your bench.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I don't think he's been playing well enough, to be fair, to warrant a selection like that. I think obviously he's an unbelievable player and this brilliant leader, but I don't know if he's done a huge amount to sway coaches' minds over the last two tests, to be fair. And I think that's where Conor Murray comes in and then becomes that general leader to be able to close the game out if that's the case. So I think that if it's a case that they're looking to close the game out and Russell has to come on, I think you'll see Murray coming on with them because he'll be the one to be able to marshal that around and do that. But I'm excited to see Finn Russell. And look, it is quite harsh on Owen Farrell, but to be fair, I think he'll be first to put his hand up to say, look, he hasn't had a brilliant season. And I think a lot of those Saracens boys are ruining the fact that they stayed and played in a championship in such an important Lions year.
We'll get more thoughts from Niamh after the game. Fergus is going to be on co-commentary with Neil Tracy. Don't forget that our coverage of the Lions here on Off the Ball is with thanks to Vodafone. We'll be back after a very short break, heading to live commentary of the deciding test.